This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that love is the single greatest motivator of human behavior, and that when we love and we are loved, we experience one of life's greatest treasures? Well, hello and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is love isn't necessarily what makes the world go round, but it sure makes the ride worthwhile. I thought this was a very fitting topic for since the Valentine's is just right around the corner. In fact, it's tomorrow. And what that means is love's in the air. And it's a very interesting phenomenon with Valentine's Day, is that Valentine's Day can be a day of expressing how much you care for someone. It's how you can express that you're interested in someone. And it also can be a day to make up for those differences that happen throughout the year. So it kind of takes all of the things and puts it aside. And so that's the purpose of Valentine's Day. So what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be talking about love, and I'm going to be talking about personality and the impact that personality has on love and how we define it, how we express it, the intimacy needs that are associated with each of the personality colors. I use color because it's a non-threatening way to look at the differences in who we are. I mean, it's very easy to say to someone that, wow, you're really being red today, or you're really kind of being green today, or yellow or orange, whatever it may be. And it diffuses it from really feeling like it's a personal attack or that it's a name-calling battle that's going on. So I'm going to be sharing the role that personality plays in love and really looking at some of the things that love and a love relationship requires, not only just on Valentine's Day, but requires throughout the entire year. So that's the topic. Should be a lot of fun. I look at love from a very lighthearted standpoint, because love can be a very, very serious situation, especially when those trials and tribulations and those emotional storms start to come forward, excuse me, in a way that can really create a tremendous sense of conflict, but more importantly, power struggles. And ultimately, those power struggles could lead to the demise of a relationship. And honestly, as long as you're in a power struggle, there's still hope. It's when we stop talking to each other that relationships really start to wither and die. So that's kind of the topic of today's show. In addition to talking about love, I'm going to be also taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about today's topic, love, relationships, then you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and also international callers. You can dial 877-230-3062. The only difference is that you just put in your international calling code before. I'd also like to invite you to my free Your Health webinar that's going to be taking place on February 28th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic is hair loss, and it's going to be a 60-minute webinar. And I'm going to be discussing the difference between hair loss and balding. There is a difference. And then also exploring some of the potential contributors that can cause us to lose our hair. Low thyroid, vitamin deficiencies. Of course, if we have male pattern balding within our family, then that can also be a contributor. But I'm going to really be looking at hair loss from a holistic perspective, not only in the different contributors to it, but also all the alternative therapies that I was able to come up in my research about how we can deal with hair loss, how we can prevent hair loss, and how we can even reverse hair loss. An interesting find that I found in putting this together is that the difference in hair loss between men and women is really very significant. And the reason for that is usually hair loss in a woman, if it is not part of a family genetics of balding, female pattern balding, is that it's difficult to diagnose and to treat because there's so many different factors that are basically contributing to the hair loss itself. Again, some of those can be hormones. So going to be an interesting webinar. It's happening on February 28th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then what I'm going to be doing is sharing all this information. So if you'd like to sign up for this free webinar, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and click on the hair loss area in the center of the page in the green bar. And again, that's February 28th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, www.ritberger.com. I've always been interested in our behavior and kind of what makes us similar, what makes us different. And one of the things I found in my educational background in personality behavioral psychology is that I've always been interested in this phenomenon that takes place that opposites attract. And when I started really looking at personality, I started to realize that opposites attracting is really a natural tendency for us to seek out people who are different than we are because we believe that they complement us. What our strengths are may be their weaknesses. What our weaknesses are their strengths. And in many ways, when we do go into that opposites attract, especially when we first start to see each other, those things really do work. I mean, you see things differently than they do. You have different core values. You have different needs. And even you define love differently, and you bring in different expectations into the relationship. They also bring these different perspectives. So when we first get into this relationship where we're in that initial getting to know each other and even into that kind of the excitement of taking it to the next step and getting into kind of what I call that courtship stage, those differences really do complement each other and they're very, very attractive. However, what happens is once we get beyond those initial stages, then those differences aren't as new and they're not as exciting and they're not as fresh. And then all of a sudden they start to become problems. They start to become those irritations that we find around someone, living with someone in particular, that their habits really don't match our habits. Their values around friends and money and raising children, if you get into that stage in a relationship, their core values and their perception of how to really fulfill those different obligations and tasks are very, very different. So it starts to settle in that, you know, the things that friends will say to you when you're in the initial stage, are you really sure that this is what you want to do? Because they're so opposite of you. And it's like, oh, yes, absolutely. It'll work out just fine. We'll adjust. We'll acclimate to each other's needs and so forth. But that isn't always the case. So now we get those irritations. We get those points of contention. And then ultimately, if those differences are not discussed, or and a common way to deal with these differences is not created, then what happens is that you get into the stages of power struggles. And then those power struggles a lot of couples cope with on an ongoing daily basis. And they basically just wear you out. It's just like you're being compromised and feeling compromised and the other person is. And then what is happening is that those compromises get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now you feel resentment. You get frustrated. You actually start getting angry, and then the relationship needs to take a deep breath, a pause, to find a way to come back to discuss these differences. And that's what I found in the value of personality is that when we can step back, look at it through the eyes of personality, we recognize that people really aren't trying to make our lives miserable as it feels and we think that they are. But the reality of it is they just literally see things differently than we do, and as a result are going to respond and react differently than we do. The word love actually stirs our deepest emotions, but at the same time, it brings forth our greatest insecurities, and it is literally one of the most misunderstood of all of human emotions. Love as an emotion, the minute we experience any expression of love, it instantaneously changes the chemistry in the body to get us into that state of being receptive to the next course of action. That course of action can be very loving, it can be very fun, it can be very positive, but it can also be one that's filled with great tension. And again, this conflict, charge of conflict, and what that can do is it can cause either a tremendous power struggle or one person to back down because they don't want to deal with the conflict. Its presence is really what is so important in our lives as a medical intuitive. Love is a very, very healthy component. It's almost like taking a super multivitamin or a super antioxidant, because what love does is it literally makes us feel good physically, mentally, emotionally, and also energetically, and it connects us with our soul. So we really have this inner desire in our humanness to experience love, and it when we do start to have that desire to experience it, or we're in love with someone or in a loving relationship, then what we do is it's almost like becoming addictive. We want more of it. We need more of it. We crave more of it. And we even yearn for it. And for people who are out of a relationship, that maybe you have friends that are out of a relationship, male or female, and after a while it's like, oh my gosh, would you stop talking about love? Would you stop trying to, you know, date every person that comes along to try to find love? But the reality of it is it's a natural part of our human existence, and it's a natural part of our overall well-being. And whether we have love or we don't, we are always going to be either seeking it or looking for ways to improve it. The real issue that I found in my research around the word love is that, especially when it brings up our insecurities, is that we also want love to fix us. We want it to save us from ourselves. We want us to save us from maybe a bad relationship we're in. We want it to save us so we can move out of the house if we're a young teenager or a teenager and we just want to get away from home. So we really look at love to help us make loneliness go away, to protect us from painful situations, and we really look at love to make us happy. And that's a lot of pressure that we not only put on ourselves, but we put on the other person, and we put on those personality differences, and as a result, that puts pressure on the relationship, and that pressure is ongoing from the when you first meet someone until you're about, honestly, 10 years into a relationship, and then everything needs its kind of a game changer in those 10 years. And, you know, we talk about the 7-year itch in relationships, and that's true. That's very physical. But that 10-year phenomenon that happens with love and relationships is then we move beyond our physical needs, and then we start really looking at our emotional needs in a relationship. So it's a very pivotal time in the course of a relationship as to whether that relationship will be able to sustain itself through those different storms that we endure, or whether it's going to collapse under the pressure of the expectations and each other's insecurities. So what I found, and what really prompted me to write my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, is that if we can see ourselves, not only through our personality and understand that personality, but also understand the personality of the person that we're with, and if you have children, understand your children's personality, then what it does is it takes away a lot of that emotional charge that we experience on a day-to-day basis that really builds up to this crescendo at this 10-year mark. That really is the, we found in looking at relationships, it's the part where the relationship truly is the most vulnerable. And so if we look at it through the eyes of personality, then we start to realize that maybe they do have different needs in order to feel love, and maybe that their intimacy needs are different than ours are, and that maybe they even express love differently than we do. So the benefits is of the benefit of understanding personality is, now both yours and your partner's, is it really helps you move beyond those differences and start to look at the positive contributions that each of you bring to the relationship. And even if you are in a relationship with opposites, it takes you back to that original excitement in the relationship, and you realize that their differences really are of great value in the relationship. It's just a matter of accepting those differences and then learning how to be able to live with them. And it's easy to do when you start looking at them as positive contributors instead of looking at things that are just always what's wrong with the relationship. what it does in understanding personality is it makes it easier to deal with those misunderstandings when they occur. You can actually jump on them when they first start instead of letting them reach that place where they actually become power struggles. What you can do is you can minimize and even eliminate the miscommunication process that all couples go through. And then also that you can minimize the conflict that is part of that evolutionary process. When we look at conflict, it really begins as a misunderstanding. It moves into conflict. Conflict is that kind of gray area. We're not sure which way it's going to go. And then if we can go back and try to talk about the misunderstandings, communicate, open dialogue, very, very important, and then it will prevent it from going into a power struggle. Once it gets a conflict gets into a power struggle, now we have compromise, we have hurt feelings, old history around the relationship and all the hurts that we've had inside start to surface, and then pretty soon a little tiny misunderstanding, probably because of a lack of communication, also all of a sudden turns into something that is bigger than the relationship itself and creates more turmoil. And those are the times when we get into the power struggles that we basically, both sides will pull away. And after the history with each other, it's like, you know, this just isn't going to work. And some personalities are going to say, this isn't going to work. And if I push it, then that means that I'm not going to be talked to for 3 days, 4 days, 3 weeks, whatever it may be, 3 hours, 3 minutes. But we know that that power struggle stage is extremely, extremely difficult when it comes to sustaining and being able to heal those hurts, sustaining the relationship and heal the hurts. So understanding personality really is a combination of understanding our conditioning. I mean, our greatest teachers around a relationship are our parents. And if their relationship is full of conflict, then most likely, honestly, from a conditioning standpoint, we are going to experience conflict and even create conflict because that is how we see relationships as being the norm. I always say that the greatest responsibility that they ever give to people is to be a parent, and it's the one area in parenting where we always feel our greatest sense of failure. And that really comes in to relationships when we watch our children go through multiple relationships, unable to find love, wanting love so badly in their life, and yet they can't seem to find it. And as my daughter said about my granddaughter, is it's like, Mom, she's just kissing a whole bunch of frogs to try to find that prince. And when I stepped back and looked at it, my daughter's personality and my granddaughter's personality is extremely different. And from my granddaughter's perspective is she's not kissing frogs at all. She's just looking for Mr. Right. So completely different perspectives. So when we look at personality, we really need to look at it from that conditioning, but we also need to look at it, the traits. And that's part of my research is it's that hardwiring genetically in our brain that our brain says, this is how you will gather information, process information, and this is how you will make decisions. Some people make decisions by it feeling right in their heart. That means that they put an emotional judgment on a decision. If it feels right, they act on it. If it doesn't feel right and they still act on it, it's going to be compromised. It's going to create conflict. If they don't act on it and there was someone who really wants them to act on it immediately, now we've got conflict again. And then some personalities make decisions based on logic. So when you ask that personality, you know, how do you feel or why are you doing this to me? That personality and their logical, neurological hardwiring, it honestly does not even compute. You're asking an emotional question, and that's illogical to them. As a result, they do not respond favorably, or they don't respond at all, and then you think they didn't hear you, and then what we do is we increase the volume of our voice because it's like, you know, hello, did you hear what I'm saying? And what we do is we find that, honestly, the words that you use if you make decisions based on emotion that are emotionally charged, they actually do not even hear or decode those words. There's where differences come up, and there's the value of understanding personality in relationships. Now, if you don't know your personality color. I teach you by color. Again, it's a non-threatening way to look at our differences and to really look at ourselves without having a lot of self-judgment toward ourselves. And so if you don't know your personality color, you can go to my website, www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. And on the moving slides at the top of the home page, click on the slide that's what colors your personality, and then click on the Find Out Now button on that slide. There's an online assessment. It's only $1.95 to take it. Not only will you discover your personality color, but you will get a very detailed description of your personality color, as well as multiple pages on what do you do with this information, how do you use it to interact in a more effective, positive way with other personalities. Now, I feel like I always need to give a Surgeon General's warning here, because in reality, what's going to happen is you're going to discover your personality color, and you're going to have that OMG moment that's going to take place, and that moment is OMG, they are different than I am. I need to learn about them. So again, lots of information, only $1.95. Just click on the Find Out Now button. It'll walk you through the process. And then what you'll do is you'll discover, are you a red, orange, yellow, green? And then also be able to get some insight into the people in your family, including your children. Also, there's personality assessments in my books, Your Personality, Your Health, What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? And then also Managing People, What Personality's Got to Do with It. All of those books are available for purchase on Amazon.com and HayHouse.com. So I'm going to continue to talk more about personality, but I want to jump right in, and I want to take some calls. So let's start with Sharon from Massachusetts. Hi, Sharon. How are you, sweetie?
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure where to focus my question, because I think that I think that I don't have any conflict in my relationship that is obvious. I think that it probably is because, sorry, I just got past the note. I think it's because of what we're not talking about. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think it's like financial security is what we're not talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's not really a question.
That's okay. All this information, because what we're doing is you're just bringing up a bunch of things, and then we'll deal with them.
Right. So so we've been together for more than 10 years, and I think we get along well, except for when I have a lot of emotion. And so... But it's nothing specific. It's just like moods.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, in that particular case, hon, when those emotions start surfacing as moods or mood swings, there's a couple things that we, you know, really have to look at is that, you know, your personality and your how you make decisions. But we also have to look at the chemistry of the body to see if those mood swings are actually tied to, in some cases, timing of the month. Both male and female, by the way. It's not just the menses of the female. Also the stressors. And then we also need to look if there's anything chemically that's going on in the body. One of the things that I find in relationships is personalities can live very well with each other, even when those differences are present. They can go through the daily activities in a very positive way, meaning very conflict way. But when we start experiencing our core values and the insecurities that are associated with those core values, such as financial security being important to you, important also to him. However, his perception of financial security is different than yours, and that's a personality difference. Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, is that when you observe things that maybe you perceive as eroding that financial security, or not paying attention to the future and that financial security, then what it's going to do is it's going to bring up, by personality, your personality color, it's going to bring up those insecurities, and those insecurities are going to have a lot of emotional charge. And yet when you express yourself emotionally, my sense is, what I'm picking up is, that then there you are being emotional again, and that's illogical. So it's kind of like it just bubbles up out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it's like, from his perspective, excuse me a second. From his perspective, being a logical decision maker, you being an emotional decision maker, when you get emotional, your words aren't even computing. He can't figure out where this came from. He can't figure out what the root source of it is. He can't figure out what he's done, but he knows he's done something. So he's going to withdraw. And then if he withdraws, then maybe this too will pass. And yet it's still bubbling within you. And so then you might surface it. And again, timing is everything. But there's never a right time. And so as a result, what he's going to do is he's just going to naturally pull back because it's another, you know, a mood swing or whatever. But the reality of it is he can't comprehend it. It's not logical that you could go along for so long and then have something bubble up.
Right.
And so one of the things that can help is that in the case of, especially with finances have a tremendous amount of ego and insecurity attached to it. And so when finances are going to need to be discussed, one of the things that can be very helpful is to discuss them the beginning of every month. And that could be something as simple as, maybe can we go out to dinner? Maybe let's go out to dinner 3 or 4 times this month. Is that possible? Or it could be, I've got something that I need for the house. Is that possible? Or I need this or that. But the beginning of the month, when most of us get into that financial mode anyway, is the best time for us to just kind of surface this area around finances. And not at the end of the month, because it's a wind down from the month and then we're starting a new month. So the end of the month, first of the month, is very, very tense emotionally and financially. So that might be something that you try to do. One of the things it feels like, and please let me know this if I'm wrong, it feels to me like he's living in the moment, you're worrying about the future. Is that true?
Yes, he doesn't plan for the future, at least in when we're talking about it, but neither of us actually have an income.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sort of skating and not talking about it, and I'm sort of terrified.
Yes. Okay, so very bluntly, that will destroy your relationship, honey, honestly.
Yeah.
So from this standpoint is that it is important for you and your well-being to bring forward when it gets to the place that you can't manage it emotionally or it overwhelms you is something as simple as I'm terrified about the direction that we're going. That terrified is a very highly charged word, but it is a word that literally when fear, terrified, paranoid, whatever those words are that are tied to that are not expressed, it will undermine the relationship. So it is important to bring it forward.
Yeah.
And in that, it could be something as simple as saying, you know, I'm really afraid where we are right now, and I feel like we need to look at what are we going to do. How are we going to plan for the future? How are we going to start today to each of us moving and contributing into that direction? But that skating on thin ice that comes with finances and kind of hoping, you know, hope isn't a business plan. Peter Drucker, that was his favorite line, hope is not a business plan, is that in that particular standpoint, you will actually, my love, do more detriment to your relationship and possibly impact your health if you do not let this be known.
Yeah, but what you had said is true, that living in the moment.
Exactly.
You know, he's living in the moment, so what do you do when...
Well, in his particular case, personality-wise, he feels like that's his life. That's what he does. That's not anything really new. It's just that where you are, age and everything else, everything changes. That living in that now, in that moment, he's satisfied. He's
right.
My sense is he's a very happy camper because, hey, this is exactly what I've been doing my whole life and this is what I want to do. But from your standpoint and personality, this is literally going into that emotional gray area that it's like, okay, I can't live in the now. I have to have a plan. And I want you to be a part of the plan. And let's plan. And if it isn't comfortable to do in the tension, you know, because home has a lot of tension, then create a date night. Do something where you're not going to be talking about things that are going to be kind of superficial, but things that would be just a good chance for you to get together. And one of the best ways for his personality that just popped in is talk about the dreams you have for the future. Talk about the dreams you have, sweetie, not him, you have for the future. And how can you put those dreams into action together? And that'll pull him right into it.
Okay, good.
If he has any old family history of being financially inadequate, not good enough, because, pardon me, the ego that's involved in it, you may get a little bit of a flare-up. That's okay. Hold your ground. It's just old garbage coming up within him. He's feeling inadequate. He's feeling bad. He may be doing this or that. You don't know what's going on. Just let it happen and then stay on course.
Yeah.
Stay on course. That's the best thing. I went in while I was talking to you, sweetie, and I looked for depression, very honestly. And I looked for literally clinical, chemical depression in you. And, sweetie, you don't have it.
Oh, good.
You're just afraid, honey.
Yeah.
You feel trapped. You feel like there's no way to get out of the off the hamster wheel that you're on.
Yeah, I do feel trapped. It's absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's important for you to express because, see, security, as you feel to me, security isn't necessarily the money as much as it is having the freedom to do the things that you and he want to do. So there's a big difference around just having a whole bunch of money in the bank and sitting around and counting the money. It literally is freedom. And if your freedom's being taken away or it's being compromised and you're feeling trapped, important for you to find a constructive, creative way, you're clever, to be able to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, don't wait for the money to take action. Just take action.
Absolutely. Just take action.
I hear what you're saying. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much for calling me. What I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk more about love. So the callers I have on the line, please stay on the line. And then I'm going to be taking other calls. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back talking about love and personality.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire. create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Wrightburger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you spending your Wednesday with me. I am now back talking about love and personality and what does it have to do with the expectations that we bring to the relationship, and a perfect topic because Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and Valentine's Day is the day for us to express our love, but also to be able to sometimes help us make amends. In fact, you know, it's interesting. Plato said about the four-letter word love is that love can make a sane man mad. I thought, how fitting is that? Also, I am taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or about today's topic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the U.S. and Canada. Also, international callers, 877-230-3062. I'd also like to invite you to join me for a four-lesson online course that's going to be beginning Wednesday, March 6th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it runs through the consecutive Wednesdays in March 2013. Again, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The topic of this online course is called The Light of the Body. It's actually what I consider my signature program, and it's where I actually start to teach the basics of understanding energy and how it works and sharing my 30 years of working with this energy and what the messages that it can bring to us and the expression that it has. And so it's a very composite program, four lesson online course about energy. And some of the things that I'm going to be discussing is the components and functions of the light body, also called the human energy system, also called the aura, the language of energy and what it can tell you about the state of your physical body and also your emotional state, how the light of the body communicates through its interconnectedness with the mind, the body, and the soul, how emotional and psychological energy can affect that overall health and well-being, the functioning of the chakra systems, and their role specifically mentally, emotionally, physically, and energetically. I'm also going to be talking about personality because that I know that the personality and that neurological wiring that you chose is a part of the light body that you are basically sending out there and attracting the people who come in your life, and then also how to apply energy techniques such as chakra balancing for improving health, physical problems, and then also those physical problems include pain and illness. Each course is going to have its own workbook that you can follow along in each of the different classes. The cost of the course is $79 if you sign up by March 5th, and after that date, then the course will increase to $99. Now, an interesting thing is that if you do want to join me, and for any reason you can't join me either for the entire course or any of the course, each week you will receive an audio download of that week's course along with a workbook, so you'll be able to follow along and to be able to study the light of the body on your own time whenever it works for you. So again, more information and to register, go to www.Wrightburger.com, Wrightburger, Wrightberger.com, and then click on that slide, the light of the body, and then you'll be able to find out all of the information that you need about this course and then also about hair loss, which is my free Your Health teleclass that's happening February 28th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, it's very interesting when I'm looking at love and I look at it through the personality colors, and I start to really look at the components of love. The secret to sustaining a loving relationship is that it, number one, starts with the ability to accept each other, yourself and the other person, for who they are. And that's easiest done through the personality. When we realize that they are different than we are, then what we realize is that those differences are merely that, and it's easier to accept each other. It also requires the ability to be unconditional. And that's a very, very tricky word for the human brain to be able to wrap itself around, because the word unconditional in the brain's eye means compromise. And that's not really what it is. Unconditional means that you accept the differences in the person that you're with and your differences, and you talk about the differences in an unconditional way, meaning that you do not place personal attack on the conversation, like you're doing this, you're not taking care of that. That unconditional part says deal with the issue and then put emotions on the back burner at that moment in time. And then what you can do is then you can discuss these, the situation in a conflict-free environment. Also, it requires the ability to forgive. Again, sound like a broken record, but the reality of it is it's easier to forgive somebody's behavior if it's tied to their personality and not tied to conditioning. Behavior meaning that the way they express themselves, tied to personality and the traits is the way they express themselves is not the way that you are asking them to express themselves. So in that particular case, if they don't talk your language, it's easy to forgive. Now, if they do something that has to do with conditioning, where they've gone in and greatly hurt your feelings or really undermine the relationship, then please do know that to step back and be unconditional is going to be difficult, and it may require you to forgive first yourself and not holding yourself accountable or responsible for everything that is bad that's happening in the relationship, and then deciding about forgiving the other person. Forgiving does not mean forgetting. It means removing the emotional charge. Also, it's the ability to be non-judgmental. Difficult when opposites attract and those opposites rear their head. Also, for the yellow personality, which I am, it's very, very difficult, honestly, for the yellow personality to not be judgmental. And the reason for that is judgment is what helps us decide, discern on how to deal with a relationship. We are by nature judgmental. We are by nature critical. We are by nature skeptical. And so we have to constantly work with those traits about ourselves and to be able to accept someone for who they are, to do it in an unconditional way, meaning that we don't personalize it, being able to forgive ourselves for who we are, and then also to be able to forgive the other person when they do step on our toes and to recognize that that's just part of personality. So what I want to do is I'm going to talk a little bit more about each color in a moment, but I do want to jump in and let's take Judith's call from Rochester, Michigan. Hi, Judith.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, sweet. How can I help you?
Hi. Well, I'm relieved that I get to talk to you today. I was planning to ask you about the business I started a couple years ago that's not making any money, but then I realized I really need to ask you about my health because I'm just too exhausted to function. I've taken on a work-from-home computer job because I need to get some money coming in,
mm-hmm.
and I've committed to 2 hours a day, and I'm having trouble following through with that little amount. So I'm having just terrible insomnia. I only sleep every other night. I have breathing trouble on those nights I can't sleep, and essentially I'm just worn out, and I'm really scared that at 58 years old I'm still scratching out a living.
Right. So the first thing that comes to mind, and this is where we get caught between the rock and the hard place,
uh-huh.
is that we have to have the money in order to survive.
Right.
But what you're being asked to do in order to survive is compromising your dreams and what you truly want to do, that you know inside, sweetie, I can feel it, that this will be that sustainable annuity income that will be able to take you into your golden years, as they call it, into a way that you will be able to have the freedom, you will have the financial security you're looking for, and that you will be able to work under your own terms and condition. So the first thing is the pressure of this job is creating a tremendous amount of stress. The insomnia is actually tied to high levels of cortisol, which is stress. It's tied to the fact that you don't relax. Not only are you concerned about the money, afraid about the money, but you're also fighting yourself very honestly because you're taking time away from what you want to do and you know requires the time. So see the loop you get in?
Yes, I'm in that loop. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So
and
from that
business I started isn't even my dream. I gave up my dream already a few times. So, but it is
okay.
Something that I thought would give me some money, not be a whole heck of a lot of work, and because I don't have the stamina.
Exactly. Exactly. And what you can do is, I mean, it's kind of like playing a psychological game with ourselves.
Okay.
And the thing with this computer, the 2-hour computer job that you have, is that we need to shift the perception of it. What it is it's just a building block, a stepping stone to get you where you want to go.
Right.
And shift the perception from it being a distraction to being a part of your everyday survival. The other issue is it feels when I touch this job, honey, there's so much chaos around either a lack of clarity of what needs to be or the people that are involved that you're working with. I mean, honestly, I don't mean to sound like I'm blaming, but what you're experiencing isn't all you, honey.
Okay.
There's a lot of, I'm picking up a lot of dynamics, and here's what I'm picking up is, it's like you're sitting at your desk working on your computer in the eye of a storm, and around you, we have all of these unknowns, we have all of this twister, all of this chaos that is going on around you, lack of clarity of how you're going to be measured, lack of clarity of what really the job description is. It's like it feels to me that you get something and then something else is thrown at you. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am. It's a highly technical computer job, and I feel like, frankly, I'm way too old for this. I didn't grow up with computers. I'm self-taught, and it's timed. When I started my own business, I made a resolution that I would never again work for an hourly wage because I've had my own business before, and I love that, and I feel much better doing that. My computer job, I am timed by the minute. So
yes,
I don't
you
have
are.
An hourly job, I have a minutely job.
Yep. So you are literally at a crossroad, very honestly, and it's affecting your health.
Yes.
And the insomnia could be thyroid, but it doesn't feel like that to me because of, you know, it that could be age. But actually, honey, you're like the little ever-ready bunny for that battery. Your adrenals aren't stopping. They're not slowing down. And as a result, you are really full of a lot of stress toxins that is weighing your body down. It's building up in your muscles. It's impacting the quality of your sleep chemically and everything. So the fork in the road.
And I don't know how to stop. I know that I'm overreacting to everything. I'm making things more stressful than they need to be. And I don't know how to stop.
Well, we'll take it into two-step phase.
Okay.
The first thing is to step back and realize that you do, at this point in time, need the money in order to give you the peace of mind to step back and look at where you want to go.
Right.
The issue is that you're over your head from a standpoint of your abilities, and what you're doing is you're actually functioning from your weaknesses, and that does need to stop. So you could start looking for another way to earn that money that would fit more within your personality, fit more within the actual part of who you are, the dream, the business, the everything else. Step back and look at that. Are there things that you could do within that scope of your skills and strengths to earn money? But this computer job, very frankly, needs to go.
Really? Okay.
It needs to go. It's not healthy for you.
Okay.
It's not only impacting your health, it's robbing you from joy. It's taking away your freedom. You're like a trapped, you know, caged animal, sweet. I mean, sorry for the bluntness, but that's how it feels. And
yeah,
so
freedom is the biggest thing I want.
Absolutely it is. And if you look at money as being the vehicle to get you the freedom,
yes,
and this isn't getting you that and it's impacting your health, then what good is that hourly wage doing you, honestly?
Yeah.
Now, but also, But understanding you, and as I do picking you up energetically, I'm not going to suggest, honestly, for you to just, you know, send them an email today and say, you know what, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, you know, song, take this job and shove it. Uh-huh. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stepping back, revisiting, being in business for yourself, revisiting what you like doing, doing a skills analysis, what are your strengths, and then looking for something and getting out of this and set a deadline on it. And that will motivate you to move forward instead of just feeling like you're treading water.
Do you see that the business will ever make money? I've been doing it.
Absolutely, it will. It just requires stepping back and looking at it differently. And here's how it feels to me. It feels like you're working in an old paradigm around how to market and get your word out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the vehicles that you have to be able to let people know about you, and you learn about those vehicles and you start working those vehicles, then absolutely it can.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to ask you, because, you know, I'm intuitive some of, what was your business, honey?
It's a judgment recovery business where people who have court-awarded judgments but the defendant never pays them,
mm-hmm.
we go in and we can garnish their bank accounts and their wages and all that and force them to pay.
Mm-hmm. And there's no need for that?
There's a tremendous need for it, but in Michigan we're limited in how we can do it, and so a lot of the cases I get are the landlord-tenant type cases, and the tenants, frankly, they don't have the money. So
right.
I end up spending about $200 on each case just to track the people down and track their bank accounts and all that. And so I've spent $200 and I've come up empty. And
right.
I've had 2 years of this, and frankly, I've run through all my money.
Right, right.
So.
Been there, done that myself, my love.
Okay.
So it's kind of like step back and say, okay, so there is a viable business. What can you do? How can you reach out? What can you do differently? Step back and look at it differently and put a plan in place.
Frankly, I'd rather make my living writing, but I tried that for a couple of years as well.
Well, let's talk about combining those two. Step back and see, you know, is there something that you can do around writing? Is there a book that you can write from your history that could
sure.
be something that could be very valuable to people? So step back. E-books are really easy to write. They're about 45, 50 pages. You can self-publish. You can put them online. There's a lot of things you can do around that suite. That's part of the step back and look at it differently.
Okay.
Establish yourself as an authority. All right, my love. I'm sorry I'm going to have to jump off because I'm running out of time. But thank you so much
helpful.
For calling. I hope that information is of value. At least it'll kind of pull you back and get you looking at it differently. So how does a red perceive love as being conditional? Meaning they're going to give you their love if you take care of their needs first. Consequently, they have lots of expectations around love and what they expect from their relationship. Oranges. So what do you expect of love? You're selfless. It means that you put other people's emotional needs before your own, and you see love as representing a deep emotional bond between two people. So for all of you who are with yellow, with oranges, all you need to do is say a simple thank you, and then everybody is a happy camper. Yellows perceive love as being complicated and hard to find. They see it as being global. What that means is that love is a state of mind, and how they express love is solely dependent on how they where they are mentally. And then greens, you see love as a celestial event, a harmonic convergence, and the merging of two people to create one, a sacred union between the soul, the mind, and the body. Actually, for greens, love is a spiritual connection. So, very quickly, hot tips for reds. If you're living with a red, tell them how much you appreciate all the things they do and for all their hard work. Oranges, again, remember for an orange to say thank you and express how much you appreciate all their help. Hot tip for dealing with a yellow is voice your respect and admiration for how well they handle problems. Greens, a hot tip for working with greens is you can never say I love you enough and why you love them too much. They need the verbal reassurance to know that they are loved and that you are loved. So very interesting in the way that we look at personality and the differences and how each personality and love really impacts what is going on in our lives. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to end with a thought, is that love isn't necessarily what makes the world go round, but the reality of it is it does make the ride worthwhile. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you. I hope that you found this information of value and that you can take Valentine's Day and open up those lines of communication, share with each other how much you care for each other, be able to put aside those conflicts, and if it requires a really good card to make amends, or a dozen roses, or a box of candy, or a nice dinner out, I think that should be on the agenda as well. I hope you'll listen to my show again every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and spend an hour about learning about yourself and other people, about health and wellness. This show will be archived in my archives. Just go to my website, www.rickberger.com. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you, and I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.